Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Stacy Dubois, talented technology and business specialist, two-time national champion Canadian skills competition, member of Team Canada for World Skills Calgary 2009. I would encourage our audience to go and follow Stacy and Team Canada at the World's Finals. Stacy, you bring considerable insight, passion, and expertise to our audience. Considering your very busy schedule, we thank you for doing this interview with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for the interest.
Stacy, can you profile your current roles?
Well, I'm a part-time employee of Skills Canada. I do administrative work there where I get to use my software skills. Outside of the office, I spend upwards of 15 hours a week training for the World Skills Competition. I also just recently transferred my college credits to Athabasca University, where I'm working at getting my bachelor's degree. Somewhere in between all those things, I managed to have a social life. It's pretty busy.
So in terms of your skills and so forth in the office side, is that Microsoft products?
Yeah, it's the Microsoft Office suite mostly.
So you're an expert. You may want to consider writing a book.
That would be nice. Maybe someday.
So what are you studying at university, and what are your longer-term goals and objectives?
I'm studying communications. I took some related courses in college, and I always found it interesting, so I'm taking that next step and turning it into a degree. My main interest is in technology, of course, but it's people that are building and using that technology, so it's important to understand them as well. I'm going to keep up my IT training and hopefully get my Microsoft Office certification soon, and pair that with the communications to hopefully end up in a position that lets me use both, maybe something in the media consulting or online marketing. I'm still exploring my options.
Well, you know, with your skill set and what you've done already, really the world is open for you.
That's right.
You know, I was really impressed when you keynoted the Deans of IT Summit in Toronto, and it was just amazing. I mean, I was there in the audience. Can you describe this experience, what lessons you learned, and the lessons you want to share with us today, but also the lessons you shared with the deans?
Oh, that was quite the experience for me. It was the third time I'd ever done public speaking outside of school, so I was really, really nervous beforehand. It went well, though. I had the chance to get up and speak to the deans and explain what it is I've been doing with Skills Canada, as well as give feedback on some of the presentations that have been done before me. I was surprised at how much I learned. I think going in, I thought I might not really understand a lot what was going on, but I learned a lot there. In particular, I was intrigued at how one of the biggest issues was getting more women involved in technology. I had never really given that much thought before, but when I stopped and thought about it, I have a really hard time thinking of anyone I know that's really into technology who's female. I also didn't realize just how much of a skills shortage there is in Canada. I would have thought that technology problems would be or programs would be really popular with students entering college, but apparently it's hard to attract the right people. I agreed with a lot of what they suggested might be some roadblocks. The cost of going into some of those programs can be really unappealing to students who can't afford it. Scholarships and bursaries are sometimes of such small value that they don't seem worth the time to apply. And the requirement of remedial math courses, if you didn't earn the right credits in high school, can be enough to change a student's mind about enrolling. And in all, there are a lot more challenges than I'd realized in getting skilled technology graduates out there into the workforce. It really opened up my eyes, and I'm so glad I was able to be part of that forum.
Well, something I really found interesting was that you were surprised at all the sort of commotion about Gen Y, because you're one of them. And, you know, sort of we were saying, wow, it's kind of really mystical. They're using all of this technology.
Yeah, that was really funny to hear about, I guess, just people older than me talking about how we all use technology every day as if it's something really bizarre. I mean, that's been my entire life, so it's not that weird to me.
And I think you said you can text message and walk around the streets at the same time, and you don't even have to look down.
Yeah, that's right. I have to do it now, though. I just got a new BlackBerry, and I don't know where all the buttons are anymore, but I'm sure in a few weeks I'll be back up to speed.
Can you profile your journey with the Skills Canada competitions?
The skills competitions are really neat. Students and apprentices under 22 years of age all compete in these Olympic-style contests in various trades and technologies. I've been competing in the IT office software category, just one of many other areas. There's stuff like graphic design, mechatronics, hairstyling, web design, 3D animation, you name it, they've got it. I first got involved in 2006 when I was taking my first year of office administration classes at Algonquin College. One of my computer teachers mentioned that the college would be choosing a couple of students to go and compete at the Ontario Technological Skills Competition that following spring in 2007. All I knew was that you needed to be good at Microsoft Office software, and I thought, well, I think I'm pretty good at that stuff. I guess I was right. I went to the day-long competition and got first place, earning me a spot on Team Ontario to go and compete at the Canadian Skills Competition held in Saskatoon that year. Competition at that level is 2 days long and quite a bit more intense than the provincials. I put in 100% effort, and I came home with a gold medal. It was definitely one of the most exciting things I've ever accomplished. I felt amazing. That year, I decided I would practice a lot more and compete again that following spring, 2008. My hard work really paid off. I got first place again and went to Calgary for the Nationals. That time, there was a lot more pressure to win, not only because I'd done it before and wanted to prove that I could do it again, but because 2008 was a qualifying competition to have the chance to compete internationally at WorldSkills Calgary 2009. So I put in as much effort as I possibly could, and I was so excited to get my gold medal at the closing ceremonies. I'm part of Team Canada now, a group of 37 other amazing young people who are going to be competing in their own categories against people from 50 other countries. We're all training really hard, and we've all got a ton of support behind us from volunteers, sponsors, and it's a really exciting experience in general. You were just asking about the Deans of IT Forum that I spoke at. That's just one of many opportunities I've had since winning the competition. I've had a chance to get out there and meet a lot of people and learn a lot of new things. It's just all around amazing.
So, you know, you talked about this World Skills Competition Calgary in 2009, so I have been, you know, really curious about it, like when it is, how do the audience, how can they get involved or how they can see this, and what is your anticipated experience and expectations, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Well, it's this September, 1st to 6th. You can get all sorts of information if you go to worldskills2009.com or specifically Team Canada if you go to skillscanada.com. I'm expecting it to be a really intense but very positive experience. I can't wait to meet people from all around the world, see what everyone can do. I'm obviously hoping for a gold medal, but I know there's a lot more to be gained from the whole experience. I've seen pictures and videos from the past competitions, and it's really neat to see so many different people from different corners of the globe meeting together in one space. I know I'm going to leave proud of everything I've done and proud of everyone on the team. We've got a great group, and I really think this is going to be a fantastic event. It's also giving me the chance to really push forward with my technology skills, which is going to really help me in my career.
So what life and career lessons have you learned from all of these competitions?
Probably, first of all, to never underestimate yourself. I was really sick when I was competing at the Nationals in 2007, and I got pretty discouraged about my performance. I was really nervous about the fact that I was up against the best from every province and territory across the country, and I was so surprised when I got first place. I was sure that I'd lost, and I think I learned that sometimes you really have to have more faith in yourself and your abilities. Another thing is to respect other people and not be cocky. I see a lot of competitors go in with the attitude that they're the absolute best and that everyone else sucks. It's one thing to be confident and know that you're good, but it's another to go around bashing everyone else's efforts. From what I've seen, the trash-talking people aren't the ones who get ahead. It's maybe the bad attitude or the overconfidence or combination of both, but you certainly don't do yourself any favors by being that way. Another thing to be prepared, it applies to the competition and it's a good career lesson as well. I've seen competitors who complain afterwards that they had no idea what to expect or no clue that they should have brought a certain tool with them. All those things are in the scope of the contest area, and if they'd taken the time beforehand to read it and get ready, they wouldn't have that problem. That's something that, from what I can see, is really important in the work world. Being prepared for every project you take on is really helping to set you up for success. You can't always expect success if you go into projects blind without doing your research beforehand. And, of course, keeping a positive attitude and just taking advantage of every opportunity you get. I've had so many great experiences thanks to the various people I've met over the years, and There's no way I'd be where I am today if I'd shied away from it all. It feels good to look back at what you've done and not regret any decisions you made.
You know, earlier in our conversation, you talked about the fact that at the Deans of IT Summit, you know, there's this whole idea of shortages of women in science and technology and so on, and perhaps it even surprised you. So what are your views on this whole idea of women in IT and the challenges and solutions?
Surprising for sure. It seems to me that one of the biggest challenges in getting women involved in IT is the fact that most of the courses and programs they need to take are very male-dominated. They probably feel a little out of place and intimidated to go into that kind of environment, so they just avoid it altogether. I know that's the reason why I never took any of the like auto mechanics or shop classes back in high school. I felt like it was all guys and they wouldn't take me seriously or that I'd stick out like a sore thumb. I can't really relate to women who aren't into technology because I find it a very exciting and interesting field, but I would imagine that their feelings towards it might be similar to my hesitation to take certain predominantly male classes. Even in an all-girls class, I would think that the problem wouldn't really be solved because eventually you'd still have to go out into the workforce where, as a woman, you'd likely be a minority. The only thing I can think of doing at this point is continuing to really work at encouraging women to get into IT and show them that there are happy and successful women out there in the workforce that they can join. Actually, just recently, I acted as a mentor at a networking dinner put on by Skills Canada Ontario. It's called Skills Work for Women, and it was a whole evening where high school students who were interested in exploring their post-secondary options had a chance to meet women working in skilled trades or technology positions. I think these kind of events are really great because the girls had a chance to talk to us, ask questions, and really feed off our positivity. It's the kind of event that I think would have really helped me feel more comfortable in my decision-making back in high school when I was trying to decide which field to go into. If I'd had a moment to talk to a woman working in the IT field who made it sound really exciting and fun, I'd be much more convinced that it's worth going into than a pamphlet or poster trying to push the same message.
You know, what do you then see as the issues and opportunities in post-secondary education for those looking at studying IT?
IT is such a huge field to get into. There seems to be an almost infinite number of directions you can take and things you can learn. With all the new things that keep coming out all the time, it's impossible to expect to have an undergraduate or diploma program that will leave you an expert of absolutely everything IT. So for those looking to get into it, it's probably intimidating to know which branch you're interested in and what kinds of opportunities you can expect upon graduating. Luckily, most colleges and universities provide a lot of information about what sorts of skills you can acquire in the various programs and what kind of jobs they'll lead you to. I think it's to a student's advantage to make use of guidance counselors to help them figure out which program best suits their interests. I actually did a test at Algonquin College that asked me hundreds of questions about things I like to do and things I'm good at, and it provided me with a really interesting report about what kinds of careers would fit my interests. I was able to use that information to find the program that would advance my software skills. There are a lot of resources out there to help a person get into a good program, and there are also a lot of different bursaries and scholarships to help with the financial side of it. With a shortage of skilled technology workers in Canada, it's certainly a great field to get into when it's time for college or university.
You know, I like to get your perspective on this. It's kind of a question I always ask in my interviews. So it's sort of like, what are the resources that are out there that will help that person advance their career or get into technology and so forth? But I don't often interview somebody who's, you know, under 30. So what would you say are the top resources for those younger people who are interested in information technology?
I'm not sure about exclusively for under 30, but I do have definitely a set of resources that I always go back to, so maybe they are more appealing for my age group. The first one I'd have to say is CNET.com is a fantastic website. It's the first place I go when I'm looking for information about a new computer or cell phone or piece of software. They have really detailed and reliable product reviews, technology news, videos, podcasts. They've got everything there. I'm a little biased here with Microsoft Office, but there's a forum at techguy.org, and you can ask any kind of technology-related question. I go there with my Microsoft Office questions, and I get lots of really great responses really fast. Also in that line of thinking, the Microsoft Developer Network at msdn.microsoft.com is a fantastic resource. I'm only just getting into it, the Visual Basic sections, but I know it's a really good place to go if you're looking for information about any aspect of Microsoft development. There are a lot of blogs there that share really useful tips and tricks. Internet.com is another really great place. I like, they have a bunch of free PDF ebooks about a really wide range of topics, so if you're interested in different IT things and reading, worth downloading. Maybe this is a good thing for under 30. I really like technobob.com. They've always got new entries about new little tech gadgets that are out there and how they work and where you can get them. It's always fun. I just recently got a series of books, the Microsoft Office Bible. There's a book for Word, Excel, Access, and PowerPoint. It's published by Wiley, and each book is about 1,000 pages long and just really, really thorough instruction on how to use every application. It goes right from the basics to an introduction to VBA, and even has a CD with sample files to go with it. It's a really, really great resource. And for anyone who's into graphics and stuff with Adobe, there's tv.adobe.com. They have all sorts of tutorials in video format that are really, really great. I use this site a lot in my Photoshop and Illustrator training for world skills because you can actually watch the people doing the techniques and it's really easy to copy. And for anyone looking to get an IT certification, there's a really handy website out there, certification-crazy.net. It lists all sorts of different certifications that you can get and has a ton of information about what you need to know, tips on how the exam works, and there's a spot for people to leave comments, people that have gone through the exams themselves, and they leave a lot of really great advice. I guess last but not least, I'll say Inform IT is a really well-organized website. You can find a lot of IT-related podcasts there, so that's always a great place to go.
Well, that's interesting. Inform IT, so that's a Pearson Publishing site.
Yeah.
Small world, because I deal with those people.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, those are great tips, and I'm glad you shared that with the audience, you know, because people are always looking for those little gems out there, and sometimes they're really hard to find, and here we've got a national and global competitor, and you've been awarded for your expertise, so it's great when you can share those kinds of tips with our audience.
I'm happy to share.
You know, I'm really interested. You've done some traveling now. You've spoken at conferences, and you had an opportunity to meet all sorts of different kinds of people at different levels of society and so on. You must have some interesting stories to share. Can you maybe share those with the audience?
When I was about 13 or 14, my dad was able to get rid of this old laptop he had hanging around that was giving him some trouble and just wasn't worth much anymore. At the time, I had a good desktop computer, but I'd never had a laptop before, and I thought it was just the coolest thing ever. I asked him if I could buy it off him, and he insisted that it wasn't worth it and that it would just die on me. I really, really wanted it, though. I suggested that I trade him a summer's worth of mowing our lawn in exchange for the laptop. He agreed, and I was absolutely thrilled. For some reason, the computer worked just fine for me, no problems. I could do my homework and play Minesweeper without even being at my desk. It was a really novel thing at the time. And that summer, despite being allergic to grass pollen and not being the strongest of persons, I was out there sneezing and dragging the lawnmower all the time just to have this old beater of a laptop. Let me tell you, that laptop served me well. It surpassed everyone's expectations and managed to keep going for about another year before finally conking out. I shoved it under my bed, and about 6 months later, I found it again and decided that I should just throw it out. Before I did, though, I thought I'd try to turn it on just one last time. And sure enough, the fan started running, and Windows 95 started doing its thing, and before I knew it, I was playing Minesweeper again. It was crazy. I have yet to see another computer as resilient as that one. I sold it at a garage sale, but for all I know, it's still out there running. Something that's actually surprising lately when I've been talking to people that haven't known me for a while, they're really surprised to find out that I didn't start out in a technology-related program at all. I actually did one level of chef training in college before switching over to office administration. I knew I needed a change in program because the one computer course I had to take was my favorite, not the cooking ones. something a little funny. Last year at the Canadian Skills Competition, I had something disrupting my work. It wasn't a power outage or noisy spectators walking around talking or anything like that. It was the proximity of the cooking category. They'd put us pretty much right next to the cooking competitors. For 2 days, while I was trying to focus on formatting and macros, all I could smell was food, and my brain was trying to imagine what it could possibly be. It was so distracting. Something actually kind of neat that I got to see this January, I was in New York City to bring in the new year, and my friends and I stopped in at the Nintendo store. Inside they have a Game Boy console that was in some barracks that were bombed during the 1990-1991 Gulf War. Amazingly enough, with all its plastic discolored and misshapen and the whole thing scratched up, the system is still fully functional. They have it on display and a Tetris game is running on it. It's really impressive to see, and I'll be curious to see if it's still working when I'm old and gray.
You know, those are really interesting stories. I just love them because they have that kind of personal touch, you know. So I thank you for sharing.
My pleasure.
I sometimes turn it around now, and I kind of make you the interviewer, but I also get you to answer your own questions, so it kind of saves me time, I guess. So what questions would you ask, and what would be your answers if you were doing this interview?
First of all, I'd have to ask, Stacy, how did you get into technology anyway? To explain that, I'm lucky enough to be part of this generation, and I've had at least one computer in my home for virtually my entire life. My dad used to give his old computers to my brother and I when we were smaller, when he would upgrade his own. So these computers became a virtual playground for me. I didn't have the internet, and there weren't too many interesting games to play, but I managed to have a lot of fun just messing around with everything I could click. Between my brother and I, we'd really screw up the computers by messing with the system files and deleting things you really shouldn't. My dad, being our family computer expert, would frequently have to reformat the hard drive and reinstall Windows just to make it work again. It probably sounds silly, but it's actually thanks to all that playing around that I have a better understanding of how it all works today. It didn't make me an expert or anything, but it's from those experiences that I became aware of how much I like technology. I've never really stopped being curious about all the new things coming out, and I'm always wanting to understand how they work. I also have to ask, why Microsoft Office? It does seem like a boring sort of thing to get into. I have a hard time explaining what it is I do to people because I'm afraid I'm going to bore them, but it all stems from a familiarity with it. When I was playing around on those computers when I was smaller, one of the only software packages on there was Microsoft Office. So I used to go in and click on every button and every menu I could find and see what it did. By the time I started taking computer classes in school, I was already very comfortable with these programs, and that's why I was drawn to them. And I'd ask, well, what makes you continue to focus on Microsoft Office? Why not something else? Despite having recently started to explore graphics, I continue to really focus on the Office suite because it's given me the ability to help so many people, not only in the jobs I've held, but just in general. I get a lot of people asking me for help when they have trouble with Word, Excel, or PowerPoint. Those three in particular are used by almost everyone, it seems, yet most users don't really understand it very much, and they get really frustrated by them. I, on the other hand, really like them, and I've learned enough at this point that they don't scare me the same way when something seems to be going funny. I like solving problems, and I love being able to help people, so I get a lot of people telling me that I'd be handy to have around the office. That's why I keep at it.
Well, it's interesting that I'm really curious then. So what are your favorite features in Word, or what is your favorite kind of tip in Excel or also PowerPoint?
I really like customizing the menus. Actually, just recently with the newest version there, 2007, everyone hates that new ribbon, and they're really having a hard time finding all their favorite features. I used to do this in the older versions as well, but it's particularly useful now is to go in and customize the menu and like put your favorite buttons where you want them. And I really like automation. I'm new to it, but I'm learning how to build macros and go into Visual Basic and make the program do stuff for you in the blink of an eye that would take you much longer. I find that really, really neat. That's really helpful for people. A lot of people that have really repetitive tasks in Excel, maybe something they do all the time that takes an hour, I can set it up so it only takes one click. I find that really, really neat.
Hey, so you're becoming a VBA programmer.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, you are, right? That's what you're doing. So, well, that's really interesting. How about PowerPoint? What's kind of something neat in PowerPoint in Office 2007?
I really like the custom animation. I've seen a lot of really tacky presentations and people that don't use it very well. They just kind of use all sorts of random animations that end up looking really messy, but I like using it in a really tasteful way. I've been told that some of my presentations come off really clean cut and sharp looking, and I just find it really fun to work with all those different animations that you can use. Recently, though, I've had to learn that you have to take into consideration how much your computer can handle. Just a few months ago, I was working on a presentation, and I thought I was going to make the neatest thing ever. My slide was going to have a bunch of maple leaves that would start off lying on the bottom, and then it would look like the wind blew them all away, and it would reveal my subtitle. It was a really neat concept, except I must have had at least 60 individual leaves, and I spent all this time working out the timing and the animation for each one, and when I ran it, my computer couldn't do it. It started lagging. I was so disappointed. But if you use that stuff in moderation and your computer can handle it, it's really neat what you can do.
You know what? It sounds like, Stacy, you could be a consultant to set up PowerPoints for executives.
That would be great. I love it. You can be really creative with that stuff. It's really fun.
Well, consider you're the national champion. You're also on Team Canada for the Worlds. I mean, what an opportunity, huh?
For sure.
Well, I'm going to deviate now a little bit and get into something that's happening worldwide. You know, there's this UN-founded International Federation for Information Processing, and they're launching this Global Certification Professionalism Program this year in 2009. And it's really an historical inflection point, and it speaks to IT as a recognized profession with global standards and code of ethics and widely adopted professional certification. Can you provide your comments on the way this is building out?
Oh, it's really exciting news. I was just reading that in a blog on TechNet. I'd have to really say that it's about time that IT professionals are given the chance to be formally recognized in their field, much like so many others. I hope that it helps to eliminate that negative stereotype of the computer nerd. I think it would really help the issue of having more students going into post-secondary IT programs as well. They'd be able to tell their parents that they're going to become an international IT professional, much in the same way someone else would say they're going to become a doctor or a lawyer. It sounds very respectable, and I'm really, really happy to hear that it's going forward this year. Congratulations.
I guess what you're saying then is it's a real attractive because, you know, I'm a person, I'm looking at a career, and guess what? IT is now a recognized profession, so it has substance and something.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. I mean, it resonates with you, and that's good to hear. Well, Stacy, we're at the end of this interview, so, you know, we will continue to follow your many significant contributions and when you become Prime Minister of Canada. And we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and accumulated deep insights with our audience.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. I'll send you a postcard from Parliament Hill.
That would be great, right? Or maybe the next Governor General at some point, right?
Maybe both. Can you do that?
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with the talented Stacy Dubois, technology and business specialist, two-time national champion, Canadian Skills Competition, member of Team Canada for World Skills Calgary 2009.